You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. So here's a question. Does Massachusetts have enough money? A monthly report on how much the state collected in taxes is due today, and it'll either break or extend a five-month streak of worse-than-expected revenues. Meanwhile, big bills for services like the emergency shelter system are piling up, and in the middle of all of that, you're going to get money back, maybe, in some new tax cuts that are taking effect, but that means less revenue there, too. So here to break it all down, Evan Horowitz, Executive Director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University. You are apparently Evan Horowitz now. Sorry about that, Evan. Welcome.
It's like we never met. It's like it's our first meeting.
Welcome back to you, Evan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So listen, this five-month revenue slump, I remember a conversation with you a year ago where you said, hey, the state overshot on what it predicted. You knew that it did. Is that what's going on here, Evan?
That is a big piece of what's going on here. They had an expectation coming into this year that was too high, but that's not the only piece, because not only are we falling below benchmark, we're barely exceeding actual collections for last year. So there are two ways to think about this. You know, when we find out month by month how much tax dollars we collected, they tell us two ways. They tell us, well, we expected to get, you know, X dollars and we got less than that. But they also tell us last year we got, you know, Y dollars. So you can compare both ways, and we're doing bad by both comparisons this time. And I do expect, you know, you mentioned we don't know the December numbers. I do expect we're going to fall short again this month.
So we understand if we overshot in our projections, I get why we're falling short. But if we're also falling short compared to last year and you think that's going to happen again, what's going on?
So, I mean, I think that's the big question, because you're right. It'd be one thing if we were doing well compared to last year, but we had expectations that were too high. It's another thing when we're barely keeping up with last year. You expect tax revenues to grow every year, partly if only because of inflation, not only, but if only because of inflation and then because of economic growth. What's happening so far this year are a couple of expected things and one, for me, really surprising thing. The expected stuff is that capital gains still low. So estimated income, still low. So this is like not the stuff that comes out of your paycheck. This is the stuff that high earners and businesses pay every month. And it's highly volatile. And we had a huge surge in it a couple of years ago. So that's still pulling back. So that's the expected part. The unexpected part is sales taxes. People are not buying as much and the state is not collecting as much in sales taxes as I expected, as everyone expected. I have not seen a good explanation for that, but it is the fact on the ground.
All right. So then we add to that context, Evan Horowitz, and we're with Evan Horowitz, Executive Director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts. And we're looking at, you know, what's coming in and what's going out at the state level. We've got Governor Maura Healey saying, hey, listen, I'm expecting to expend another $250 million on the emergency shelter system alone this year. We're looking at maybe $1 billion next year. This fiscal year, we're looking at maybe $1 billion next fiscal year. There are other price tags shaping up. What does this mean if we're looking at potentially six straight months of low revenues and then we're looking at price tags like that, Evan?
I mean, it means we have to change our spending priorities. We really don't have a choice at this point. Now, the upside is the governor has asked to use money that was in a savings account. That money, you know, we have been very smart, very savvy about the excess collections of the last few years. We have a couple of big savings accounts. And it is totally reasonable to say, you know what, we have to spend a lot more on the emergency shelter system to house families than we expected. Let's use some of our savings for that. Like that is a totally reasonable thing to do. That's what savings are for. Unexpected costs. And this is one of them. But there are then costs that are just not affordable in the long term that we're going to have to rethink more broadly.
Like?
Well, I think about some of the emergency programs from the COVID era. I think the one that people are really struggling with is the support for childcare centers, right? There was a big movement to make early education and care more affordable, more accessible. And a lot of money went into that. But there was never really a plan for long-term funding for those initiatives. So I think that's, you know, sort of top of the list of how are we going to continue funding this initiative, which is a high priority for legislators, for families, but which never had a sound funding base, and without a sound funding base is really at risk in an environment of retrenchment like the one we're heading into.
So there will be competition among other kinds of programs that are also important but didn't have a stable funding base because we've got big expenditures we weren't expecting and we're not bringing in as much money as we thought we would or as we did last year. Am I understanding you correctly?
The way I like to think about it is for a couple of years, we didn't have to make any priority choices. There was so much money that whenever two people got in a room and said, I want to do this, I want to do A, and somebody else said, I want to do B, you could just say, okay, let's do both.
And that's because we were bringing in money and because of COVID funding.
Correct.
Okay.
And now we're in a situation where we really can't do that. We're going to have to make priority decisions like, okay, maybe we'll do half of A and half of B, or maybe not A this year. And like the muscle memory for doing that, not just among legislators, but among advocates, is very weak, very diminished. So I do worry about sort of the armature for making these kinds of decisions that are going to have to get made about, you know, we love both these programs. We can't fund both these programs. Now what?
All right. So with that sort of sitting in the background, I do want to turn our attention to some tax cuts that the legislature decided to put in place last year and are now going to go into effect for people, are now in effect for people who will see more money one way or another in their pocketbooks this year, Evan.
Yeah, and I think this is actually the classic example of I want to do one thing, you want to do another thing, let's do both, right? The House wanted to do a bunch of tax cuts. The Senate wanted to do some different tax cuts. Took them a while to figure out, but the compromise was, all right, we'll mostly do everything, and it'll cost more than you know we want, but that's what we're going to do. And it means more money for people who die very wealthy, right? The estate tax has been diminished. It means more money for families, anyone with kids. That's the biggest piece of it. And then, you know, smaller pots here and there for renters and seniors and things like that. And, you know, that goes to support people in need. It also drains money away from the state, which will undermine efforts to support other kinds of programs that people need. So it was you know, I think about roughly about $1 billion in total for that tax cut package. And, you know, $1 billion is a lot of money. It doesn't feel like a lot of money when you have, you know, multi-billion dollar surpluses, but now it does. And I you know, do I think there are a lot of legislators who are like regretting having done a package that big? Maybe not yet, but possibly very soon.
So just for listeners, so for example, the child and dependent tax credit goes to $310 in taxable 2023. $440 the next year. There's a septic system tax credit. There's a senior circuit breaker credit that goes up to $2,400. And the rental reduction goes from $3,000 to $4,000. So
let's be careful about the numbers, because some of these are like dollars that people are going to see. That child tax credit in particular, when you say $300 or $400, that's just money that you are going to see. If you have a kid,
yeah,
you know, that's just a refund you're going to get. And it doesn't matter if you owe taxes, like nothing. That is a straight, we're going to help you. We're going to send you money. The renter's tax credit, that's a deduction that you can take that will maximally save you $50, right? It's not in terms of the change. So that's a much smaller, I mean, you say $3,000, $4,000. I don't blame you for that. I'm saying that's the size of the deduction, not the size of cash in your pocket,
yeah.
Right? So we want to be kind of apples to apples here.
And no, I appreciate that. All right.
Well, and there's a lot of hype about some of those things that aren't apples to apples. Like it's very easy to say, oh, we get an additional $1,000 to renters, but that's not what it is. So, you know, the impulse to exaggerate the impact that some of these are going to have on people's lives also may backfire when they get a lot less back in taxes than they were expecting.
All right. Last question to you, Evan Horowitz. The big thing you're going to watch for in the next 2 months.
So I'm really watching that sales tax number, not just because I'm concerned about revenue collections for this year, but because if there's a consumer pullback, so like if you're not collecting sales taxes, that just means people aren't spending. But if people aren't spending, that tells you something really bad about the broader economy, right? So we've been talking about the sort of tax system, but there is another set of concerns about, well, wait a minute, how strong is the economy? And the fact that we have this weakness with the sales tax tells me that there may be some bleed through into broader economic problems. That's the thing I'm watching and worried about. I think it's, you know, it's premature to like sound the alarms on this. I think the economy seems strong. Markets certainly think so, but that's a red flag.
All right. Evan Horowitz of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tiziana.